Hey everybody, it's Clint, and I told you I'd bring you a podcast today, and here it is. And we are going to be walking through Matthew chapters 6 and 7. We're going to be talking about a couple of things. We're going to be talking about, first, anxiety and worry, about judging other people, and about not casting your pearls before swine or pigs. And not giving dogs what is sacred. What the heck do those things have to do with each other? That is some craziness right there. But before I get started on that, I wanted to remind you of a couple things. Faith Payne, my wife, have started a group called The Conversation. If you go to meetup.com, type in The Conversation, you will find us there. We've been meeting every other week on a Saturday afternoon evening from 4 to 6 at my office. This next time we will meet will be July 16th. Faith and I will not be there. However, the group will continue to meet. It will meet at, like I say, 3400 Chapel Hill Road. Meet if you park in the back between that where I'm at, my office, and the daycare. Come in that glass door that's next to the spine clinic. Walk down that long hall. At the end, there's a theater, quote-unquote theater. But it's a room of chairs, and you will go in there, and that's where we'll be meeting. Last week, we had a Muslim family, two teenage young men, and a husband and wife come and talk about their Islamic faith and what that meant to them and what it was like for them. And that is the reason we started the conversation, that me and Faith believe that as we have conversations with people that are not like us, that are different religions, faiths, cultures, sexual identities, identity in another way, as we talk to those people and get to know those people, we find out that we have so much more in common than we do difference. And that's kind of what we want to be about, is finding things that are the same about us, finding ways that we are similar, not different, because we have too much of that going on in the world today, how we're all different, how we all need to find walls and build barriers, and how we got to find out how you're not like me, and if you're not like me, how I have to push you away and not talk to you. And I would rather those things become much different for us. Faith and I believe that, no, we need to all come together, that the only way we're going to bring change in this world is that we see how we can come together to help each other. That's also what my spiritual community is about. Hopefully you heard the last podcast. It's been my most downloaded podcast about a new community I want to start. And the last time I did a live video on the 4th, that was yesterday, had a lot of people watch that, and I hope you're interested in that. I want to start off something really fast and quick so you get to know this, that I am not about slamming Christianity. That's not what I'm here doing, or bashing it. I like Christianity. I like Jesus. I want you to go to church. Go to church as much and as often as you need to and you would like. What I am doing is telling people how I think, what my experience has been like, what worked for me, how I brought peace into my life, and the reasons why I want to start a new community. And if you don't like that, that's fine. If you think it's heretical, or I'm a heretic, or that somehow I'm leading people astray, that's fine. What I would appreciate is that you would listen and hear. And if you don't like those ideas, that's fine. And what I'm going to ask you to do is allow me to have the autonomy and the freedom to find my own path, to find things out myself, to learn these things myself, because that's part of how I've been for 22 years as a therapist and living on this earth for 47 years now. This is who I've been, always. And that's really what today's podcast is about, so starting there gets me to today's podcast. So let's jump right into it, because what I want to talk about is, first let's talk about Matthew 6, about verse 25 or so, talks about not worrying. Jesus goes through this whole thing about don't worry, look at the birds of the air and look at the grass and the flowers, they all are fed and they're fine, and aren't you more valuable than them? And can any of us add worry to our life at all, or add anything to our life by worrying at all? Yeah, I've got a podcast on this. You can go back and look if you go to clintpayne.podbean.com on anxiety and worry and overcoming that, where I discuss this in depth. I'm not going to discuss this in depth today. I'm just going to say, at some point, what we need to be able to do is release ourselves to God. Surrender to the universe, to God. God does not like the word that you like. Universe, God, higher power, source, whatever works for you. Release yourself into that. You know, what I like to say here is I have to remind myself at times that I am not God, the source, the universe. I can't be omnipresent and all-powerful, omnipotent and all-knowing. That's just not me. I have to release myself into the flow of things at times. I have to cooperate with life. What this means for me is I work hard, I try hard, I plan, I do things, but as soon as those things, I've done all those things that I can, I release them. I surrender to the flow of life, to the universe that I know for a fact I will be taken care of. I mean, I sit here today and I've been taken care of. What I need to be first is not worrying about what I'm going to eat or what I'm going to drink or what I'm going to wear, because the reality is I have all those things. But we get anxious and we get worried about those things. So here's Jesus talking about those things. That, hey, don't worry. Why are you worrying? You can't add anything to your life. Look at the grass and the flowers. In my other podcast, I say, you know, look at the grass and flowers. They can't tell themselves, oh my gosh, if it rains one more day, I'm going to drown. Or if it doesn't rain today, oh my God, I'm going to burn up. They can't think like that. Neither can we. They just have to surrender what's going to happen every day. So we can plan and work and toil. And at some point, we have to surrender ourselves to the fact that I am not this all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present person. I can't be everywhere at once. I can only do what I can do, and then I have to surrender the rest. So right after talking about that, he begins chapter 7 in Matthew, talking about, do not judge, or you too will be judged. For the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with that measure that you use, it will be measured to you. So here's Jesus talking about, do not judge others. Now, what does that mean? So for me, I want to go back for a second and say, hey, there's three ways we can kind of talk about judging. First, judge is legal, kind of a legal term. What's right and what's wrong? Because there are things that are right and wrong. I mean, if you go into a law courtroom, you know, you were over the speed limit or you weren't, and you murdered somebody or you didn't, there are things that are right, there are things that are wrong. And so we make judgments about those things, about what's right and wrong. We make judgments every day, meaning that at some point you have to make decisions. You have to decide for yourself, am I going to go this way or that way? Am I going to turn right or am I going to turn left today? Am I going to eat that or am I not going to eat that? Am I going to get up and go to work or am I not going to go to work? Am I going to do this or am I not going to do that? Do I want to finish that work today or not? Do I want to go work out? Do I not? You're constantly making judgments, decisions every day. And that is another way to think about judgment. We're not talking about either one of those today. What we're talking about, what Jesus is talking about here, is he uses judgment in this tone. That judgment means to lower another in order to raise yourself. You push down another person in order to elevate yourself. That we become self-righteous at the expense of other people. That we stand over someone, that we shoot them down to inflate ourselves. And what we try to do when we actually judge somebody is we try to control or manipulate others through condemnation or some kind of negativity. And what he says in this passage is if you do that, that's going to come back around. So if you're going to try to control and manipulate others through condemnation, through negativity, hey, you're wrong, hey, you're awful, hey, you shouldn't be doing that, hey, you're a terrible person, hey, look how good I am, hey, look how stupid you are, that's going to come back around to you. I love the Message version of the heck, because it says about that, it says it's going to come back around and come back to you. It says it's going to boomerang back around. So right after that, he says, hey, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and you pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will clearly see to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So in this passage here, Jesus is talking about, you know, here we are. All of us have this speck of sawdust in our own eye. And what we try to do is we look at we have a plank in our eye, not sawdust. We look at the speck of sawdust in somebody's eyes, what we don't like about them. And what we try to do is we try to control them as a way of avoiding our own pain. We don't want to look at ourselves. We don't want to see this big plank coming out. We want to try to reach out and say, hey, there's something in your eye over there. All the time we got this big plank. We can't even reach people. We can't even touch them because we have this plank coming out of our eye. And what we do, what Jesus is saying, is as long as we're making those kind of judgments, as long as we're focusing on them, we don't have to do the difficult work of looking at ourselves. So what he talks about here first in chapter 7, or chapter 6, right before he gets to chapter 7, is guess what? You have to surrender yourself. You have to surrender and know that you will be okay. That the universe, that God, Source, is going to take care of you. You have to surrender that. You have to know that. You have to not worry. You have to be a non-anxious being on this earth. You have to surrender yourself. Once you do that, guess what? Don't focus on the flaws of another to avoid your own issues. Surrender yourself and don't focus on the flaw of another person to get away from your own issues. So this is what Jesus is saying here. Hey, this is what we do. We look at somebody. We haven't surrendered ourselves. Our anxiety is up. Our worry is up. Our fretting is up. We don't look at ourselves and say, I wonder why that's happening. We don't say, hey, what am I worried about? What can I control? What can I not control? What do I need to be doing? How do I need to be doing this? What do I need to do to take care of myself? What we tend to do is look at somebody else and we say, oh my God, look at you. What are you doing wrong? Why are you doing that? You shouldn't be doing that. Hey, you better do it another way. And then he goes on in the passage and he says in chapter 7, verse 6, don't give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Now, what the heck is he talking about there? We all kind of know what that means in some sense, that you don't give something good to somebody who's not going to like it and appreciate it. You know, you give pearl to pigs, they don't really care. They're going to trample it under their feet and make it all muddy. So at some point, we have to learn how to live with the serenity that we'll be okay, and then not judge what happens to others. And when we don't surrender to others, we try to control them. So what I mean is, here we are. We have to surrender and know that we'll be okay, live in that serenity. But what really happens is then we look at others and we don't want to surrender them. We try to control them. They have to live all the ways we think they need to live, whatever's on our list. They got to be more caring or loving or kind. They can't be gay, or they have to have a certain job, or they have to have certain grades in school, or they have to whatever. And when we think those things, that people have to live according to our list of rules or boxes or ideas, we have not surrendered somebody. And our own anxiety is attempting to control other people. We do this through condemnation, through negativity, in an attempt to get them to do whatever it is we want them to do. So for instance, we have tribes. This is why I talk about the church. The church is a tribe. Families are tribes. They're systems. And whatever system or tribe you've been a part of, and you don't play by the rules, you get shamed. So what people will say to you, if you're going to leave the tribe at some point, they will say to you, oh, why are you playing around with these crazy ideas or these thoughts? Why are you saying these kind of things? Hey, you know better than that. Hey, you've been with us from the beginning. Why would you stop now? Hey, we're blood. We're relatives. Why would you do these things? You know, for example, if there's an alcoholic family and dad's an alcoholic, the system's always going to go towards self-preservation. What do I mean by this? So if you're the kid in a family where there's an alcoholic and everybody's acting like it's not there, so what I tell people is there's an elephant in the room. We're all acting like it's not there. So I walk into the room. I close the door. There's an elephant sitting behind the door. When we both walk in, I look at it, but I don't say anything because you're not saying anything, because I was in this room before and there was no elephant. And you said, hey, Clint was in this room before and there was no elephant, or he didn't say anything. We're both looking at it, but we're not saying anything. It drives you crazy because you're not saying anything, so I must be the only one seeing it, so I must be crazy. And you're thinking the same thing. I see it, but nobody's saying anything. Clint's not saying anything. I must be crazy. And one of us goes, hey, you see that? We both go, oh, yeah, I see that. Ooh, there's a relief. But in families and in systems and in tribes, what happens like that when we say, hey, look, dad's an alcoholic. Hey, dad has a problem. Hey, there's something going on here. What happens is we get shamed. We get shamed because we're the person pointing out the problem. We get told, oh, you're stupid, you're silly, that's not going on. What are you talking about? Hey, we're your family, we're your blood. That's not really going on here. You better not do that. No, shh, be quiet, don't talk about that. So a tribe or a system tries to shame us back. Or we try to shame people back. Why are you doing that? You don't need to be doing that. You need to do it this way. You better do it this way. And this is casting pearls before swine at times. Because you're trying to get somebody to do something you want them to do and they're not ready. But we also, if we can't, a system can't shame you or condemn you back, what they'll do is try to woo you back. They'll try to say, hey, you were here, we were here for you when nobody knows you like us. Hey, I took care of you. And a family may say, hey, I was there for you. I gave you money. I took care of you when nobody else would. A family, a tribe, a church, a culture may say, hey, we've been always been there for you. Hey, we were there and supported you when you had nothing. And now why are you turning on us? Or hey, we really want to take care of you. And they'll try to charm you and have charisma and woo you back. These are ways that we try to control and manipulate people. So what we really need to do is surrender yourself first, that you're going to be okay. Second, surrender others, and then live in a non-anxious way in the world. Reconcile yourself to somebody else's freedom and autonomy. If I are not okay with the fact that people are free agents, we will try to control them with shame, condemnation, or wooing. You have to surrender people. This is what not judging means, is I have to surrender everybody I know and everybody I think about and allow you to make the decisions you need to make. We also try to woo and get people back by doing good things, giving gifts, giving praise, serving them to get them back in line, quote unquote. When somebody does something good for you, somebody ever done something good for you and it made you really mad, it upset you, it made frustrated you, and they said they gave something to you, did something nice, and they said, well, it's because I care. But it didn't make you feel good. It felt like it was choking. Felt like it was smothering because there were strings attached to that. If that's happened to you, or I know that you may have done it to somebody else, or I've done it to somebody else, it's somebody trying to work out their own agenda through you or through me with manipulation. So even giving good things may actually drive you away. And when you give good things to try to control people, they sense it and they may become violent and angry. So this is again another meaning of don't cast your pearl before swine. So for me, if I think that somebody really needs to hear this message, I'm going to force it on them, manipulate them. Hey, you've been here all along. Hey, you've known me so long. Why were you walk away from me? What's going on there? Or if I try to give them good gifts or serve them, hey, let me take care of you. Let me help you. And they sense that I'm doing it out of manipulation. Either way, they may become violent. So what this verse says is, hey, when you give and cast your pearls before swine, or you give a dog what is sacred, they may trample under their feet, turn on you, and tear you to pieces. So people may get mad and angry and actually turn you away because of your judgment, because of what I define judgment as, putting somebody else down to build yourself up. And I want you to recognize what we all know, there's no joy or freedom in controlling others. I believe we can all talk about things, we can disagree, we can realize, but we need to realize that other people, they don't belong to us, that we don't have to change them. We have to remember that we can't give things to people that people are not ready for, because it may backfire. They may not be there yet. And you can't take people where they don't want to go. I've seen this in my own practice. I can sit with clients and talk and talk and talk about things they need to do. And they can leave my office. And guess what? They get to decide whatever they want. Sometimes I've had instances where people, we talk and talk and talk, and they know for sure when they leave, they know what the right decision is for them. And they know why they can't make a certain decision, because how painful and hurtful and terrible it's going to be. And what the outcome and the consequences will be. And be deathly sure of that. And they come back a month, 6 months, a year later, having made that exact decision. So I had to learn this as a therapist, that I've had to surrender people to the divine as they leave, to the universe, to God, to know that I cannot judge people when they leave. This is what in therapy we call unconditional positive regard. That I know people are going to leave my office and they're going to make any decision they need to make. And I had to be called out on this when I was a young therapist. One of my supervisors in graduate school said, Glenn, if you're going to worry about what people think about you every time they leave your office, and if you've done the right thing or not, you're going to be burnt out, and this is not the career for you. So I had to learn very early on how to give up and surrender people to the divine, to the universe, to God, to allow them to make their own decisions. Because if they had to live like I thought they had to live in my counseling sessions, and even though I was doing it out of kindness and care, they would sense that and become violent and angry. They would not come back. If I did it out of manipulation because I needed to shame them and tell them, oh, you're wrong and you're hurting yourself and you better see and you better understand, they wouldn't listen. I'm casting pearls before swine, and they're not going to get it. You know, we have to learn that even being parents, we have to surrender our kids because they are not our own. They are the universe's. They are God's. Our job right now, what this passage talks about to me all the way from 6 to 7 is, one, live as a non-anxious, non-violent person, selflessly serving and giving to others. Let go of that anxiety and surrender it to the divine. So, you know, people ask me a lot of times, how can I get my friend to? How can I get my partner to? How can I get my blank to? The answer is probably nothing. How can I make sure my kid will? How can I make sure that person will? Nothing. You have to surrender them to the divine. So is there somebody in your life right now that you are not at peace with? You're not at peace with their autonomy and their freedom and their power. Now this doesn't mean that somebody's not making bad decisions or decisions that are not that are destructive for them or horrible for them. But guess what? This is their path to walk. They may be hurting themselves. And we may have lots of opinions about how this is right or wrong or all those things. But this person has the freedom to chart their own path. They may be doing something stupid or miss out on a better future, we all say. Or they're backwards or they're crazy or they're repressing something. And this all may be right and right on. But guess what? We have to surrender them to God, to the universe, not judge them. We can still care for them and serve them and love them and take care of them in any way we can. But we can't force them or woo them or manipulate them or give them gifts to try to get them back because they aren't ready to go there. Maybe you have a relationship that you can say that to that somebody. You can tell them, hey, I'm really concerned about this. Hey, I really see this in your life. And they will listen and hear them. But know that this is about your own anxiety, my own anxiety, not them. So let that anxiety go. Surrender it to the divine, both individually and with people around you. Who do you need to set free today? Live in the world as a nonviolent, non-anxious way, giving selflessly, serving others. Listen to this closely. Serving others, but with boundaries and a strong spine. What this means is I do everything I can to work, to make things happen, to love people, to listen to people, to care about people. But after all that work, I surrender it to the divine after that. I surrender the people. I surrender the events in my life. I surrender what's going to happen. I go with the flow. I cooperate with life. I live as a non-anxious person and become a force of grace and peace in the world. So that's it. I know we have people we want to change and see and do differently, but we can't change them. So this is why I put this out in the world. If you don't like it, that's fine. You're not there yet, or if it's not a place where you want to be, I am good with that. There's no judgment here about people that go to church or are Christians. Matter of fact, I call myself a Christian. This is just how I think and I feel, and I want to appreciate your non-judgment of me, and I will make non-judgment of you, but that's what my spiritual community will be about, a place where we all can come, make choices for our life, even if they're not harmful and destructive. People might point it out, but we love you and we care for you. We take care of you with boundaries and limits, with strong spine to stand up, but we're not going to force you. We all know that feeling. That's why I speak about church real quick, because we all know the feeling in church that they try to woo us, take care of us. They want to say everybody's welcome. And then when you get there and you don't make the decisions they want you to make, all of a sudden it becomes condemning and negative and frustrating. I've had this happen to me just in the last week or so. As I talk about more and more of these things, I have more and more of these people wooing me and criticizing me and asking me why. And I get that it makes people uncomfortable. But I have to do the same thing with people that make me. I have to take care of myself and my own anxieties and ask, why is that making me anxious? Can I surrender them to God? That's the path for them. That's the path they have to travel. And allow that to be. But we can still be friends. And we can still have coffee together. And we can still hug each other. And I can still take care of you when you need something. And we can do that. You can do that for me. Oh, what a graceful, peaceful world that would be. Thank you for listening today. Remember the conversation. Remember my podcast. Please share this anywhere you want to share it. Went a little longer today than I wanted to, but man, I wanted you to hear all these things, and hopefully it all makes sense and all is cohesive and goes together. And we will talk to you very soon. Namaste.